If you're new here, we've been looking for a few weeks at some of the major factors that help you narrow down your focus in your ministry. Now, if you are a Christian, if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, that is, then you've been called into the ministry in the New Testament. Ministers are not people who go to seminary and get jobs doing ministry. Ministers are everyone who's been called to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have met him, then you are a minister. Ministry basically means to serve or serving. One who ministers is a servant. Everyone's been called to do something, to be a part of what God is doing in the body of Christ. We've been looking at several issues that will help you narrow down where you need to focus. Now, if you've not yet committed your life to Christ, then one of the things that you're considering is a lifestyle where God is going to be working through you to impact the lives of other people. As you're considering the Lord Jesus, you're considering actually jumping into what he's doing in the world and being a part of that. But once you commit your life to Christ, there are some issues that if you will take a close look at them, they'll help you narrow down and begin to get a clear perspective on what it is that God is calling you to do in the world. And we've been looking at an acronym, an acrostic called SHAPE. The S stands for spiritual gifts. H for what's really on your heart. According to the scriptures, whenever you come to the Lord Jesus, he actually gives you spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities, empowerments that he gives to do things. Those gifts have a motivational edge to them, but he gives you abilities. You also have from the Lord a heart for certain things. That's what we're going to be taking a look at today. You have acquired abilities that God will use, a personality that he also will use. Your personality doesn't come to you by accident. It's a part of God's shaping of what he wants you to do in the world. And then experiences. Some of them are spiritual experiences. Some of them are maybe educational experiences. Others are difficult experiences that God intends to use to help you be a more effective minister in the world. So we're taking a look at these things. We've looked at spiritual gifts. Today we're going to take a look at our heart, what we have a heart for. And hopefully at the end of this time, you'll be able to begin to narrow and understand what God has laid on your heart. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. And then we'll get into this. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. And thank you for being willing to meet us here this morning. You are the God of all the universe. You're the God who has thought everything up. You're the one who's brought it into being. And you're the one who will guide it to its proper conclusion. We are glad to be in your presence this morning. In space-time history, we stand here at this moment. And we stand here with you. Thank you for your great promise that where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, there you would be also. So we welcome you and we say to you, Lord, speak to us. We desire to hear from you. We need to hear from you. You have a way of speaking. You have an ability to instruct us in a way that no human being can. Then, Lord, open our eyes by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take a look at monitoring my heartbeat. This listening guide will help you track along with me as we take a look at what you have a heart for. Heart has different meanings. Before we do, have any of you, since we went through spiritual gifts, you may have already had some understanding of what your gifts were, but over this last week, have any of you gotten more insight into what your gifting is? Most people forgot we talked about it. Yeah, some of you have. What are some gifts that you feel that you may have? How many are teachers? Lord often gives a lot of teachers. How about prophets? A few of those. How about mercy showers? Need a lot of those. What others? How about leadership? Okay, leadership, administration, or organization. A lot of you in organization. Well, great. God gives different kinds of gifts to the body of Christ, to his people, so that they can work together. They don't all have to do exactly the same thing, but they can work together to get the work of the kingdom done in the earth. Now, he also gives different kinds of hearts. He lays different things on people's hearts. Beyond the abilities, he gives different motivations. Heart is defined in the dictionary, you know, the organ that pumps your blood, your emotional constitution or disposition, or the vital force or driving impulse, like the heart of that church is such and such, or the heart of that organization is such and such, the vital driving force. In the Bible, the term heart, the word heart, is used to mean the center of your motivation, desires, and inclinations. So you can underline those, motivation, desires, inclinations. Your heart thinks. Your heart is basically the real inner thinking, willing, desiring you. There are some things that are at the center of our hearts that we want to take a look at. The scripture says this, an example here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. Our hearts desire things. My heart determines why I say the things I do. Have you ever wondered, you know, you just sort of pop off or you say things and later on you sort of regret it and you say, well, why did I say that? Well, the answer is right here in Matthew. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. According to the Bible, what comes out of your mouth is this. Your tongue dips down into your heart and then unloads it. What our hearts are full of keeps leaking out of our mouth. Your heart determines why I say the things I do. Why I feel the way I do. The Word of God examines the thoughts and motives of the heart. This is not, of course, not the organ, but the seat of your emotions, the center of your emotions and your thoughts. Determines why I act the way I do. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. You want to watch what you let lie around in your heart, what kind of desires, what inclinations you let take up lodging there, what thoughts you let drive your life, because out of your heart flows everything else in your life. So your heart is the real you behind it all. Now, physiologically, each of us has a unique heartbeat. We have different rhythms, different patterns, slightly different patterns from one another. Likewise, God has given each of us a unique emotional heartbeat. We have different things on our hearts. And that races when we encounter activities or subjects or circumstances that interest us. You know, we get all excited about it. We instinctively feel deeply about some things and not about others. Have you discovered that there are things that are on your heart, or there are things that really get you excited that are just different from other people? Usually you discover that after you get married, if you haven't discovered it before. You know, you get married and suddenly you find out that this other person doesn't get all excited and wrought up about exactly the same things that you do. You have different things on your heart. Maybe some things overlap, but other things we're just different in. This God-given motivation serves as an internal guidance system for you. It determines what your interests are, what will bring you the most satisfaction and fulfillment. It also motivates you to pursue certain activities or subjects or environments. Some of you like different environments from each other, and the reason is you have different things on your heart, different activities and different subjects. Why God has given each person a unique heartbeat is to accomplish his purpose. God puts things in our hearts. Revelation here, this passage, is talking about how God puts some things in the hearts of people that are going to accomplish his purpose. In this case, some things are very hard. It's going to accomplish his purpose. God puts these things in our heart. Many times, whenever we think about God and his will for our lives and what he wants us doing, we sort of feel about God like he's somebody that sends you to bed, you know, give you spinach for dinner and then send you to bed and not let you play. You know, if I enjoy it, it can't be in the will of God, right? That's an attitude we pick up and we run with. If I like it, it can't be God's will. But rather, the truth is that God puts different things on our hearts. Different ones of us have different drives, different motivations, not only related to our gifts, but what we want our gifts to impact. And those things come from the Lord. One of the ways that you can know what God's calling you to do is just by beginning to look at what you like to do. God has a purpose in allowing you to develop your interests. In fact, your emotional heartbeat reveals a very important key to understanding God's design and intentions for your life. The Bible makes it very clear your heart was designed by God, but you might underline this. You make the choice to use it for good or evil, for selfish purposes, or for service. The choice is yours. The heart's there. All of us have a heart of one kind or another, but we choose what we do with it. You may have, like James says, selfish ambition in your hearts. We can let that reside there. Or you may serve the Lord with all your heart. We're going to look at 22 things in a moment that can be on a heart. But right now, you need to get hold of this. You can do the will of God from your heart. You can either let the things that lie in your heart be the things that are out of the will of God, or you make the choice to let the things that lie there be in the will of God. Everyone has a heart. You determine whether it be used for good or evil. That's up to you. But everyone will have a heart. For instance, one of the things we're going to look at in a moment is the desire to acquire. One of the things that's on the hearts of people, one of the common patterns in mankind, is that there are some people who have a real desire to acquire things. And man, they shop till they drop, and they get a good price for it too. And that's something that's neutral. It's neither plus nor minus. It can be used selfishly, and it can hurt people, or it can be used in the kingdom of God, and it can bless people. But that's just an example. We may make a choice of how we use these things. So we'll take a look at them in a moment. How can I do God's will and serve God's purpose? By letting my heartbeat motivate me to ministry. The things he puts on your heart, let it motivate you to ministry. Here in 1 Timothy 3, it's quite true to say that a man who sets his heart on becoming a church leader has a laudable ambition. 1 Timothy 3, 1. You know, if you'd like to be a leader, you set your heart on being a leader, you're new in the congregation, and you say to yourself, boy, I'd really like to be a leader here. The scripture approves of that. It's something you set your heart on, and it's one of those goals that really is fine. To want to lead in the kingdom and bear responsibility and help direct things, set things in a healthy direction and be responsible for people and care for people, that's a wonderful thing. It's a noble ambition. So as you set your heart on certain things, you move on out toward doing the will of God. We're going to look at taking a spiritual EKG. If you're like most people, you've never taken time to sort out or identify the things that you're good at and motivated to accomplish. As a result, it's unlikely that you use these talents as completely or as effectively as you could. Underline this. The key to understanding your heartbeat is to look at your past accomplishments. This exercise that we're going to be looking at is adapted from the book Finding a Job You Can Love by Ralph Mattson and Arthur Miller. They're Christian counselors who deal in the realm of career guidance. And here's some steps that you can take, I would encourage you to take. We want to look at them. First, you'll list and describe your accomplishments since childhood. Okay, and then step two is on page 32. Just skip over there. By the way, you're not missing 26 pages or whatever the number is you start with. Those are the pages we handed out earlier. You can get those if you would like. On page 30, I've got 32. I think you may have a different one. What is it? Step number two. What's the page number? Is it 32 for you? Okay. Discover the motivated direction of your heart. So number one, you're going to be listing and describing your accomplishments since childhood. Number two, you're going to be discovering the motivated direction of your heart. And I'd like to walk you through how to do this. We're not going to do all of this here in the worship service because we don't want to be here all day. But this is something that I think can help you greatly in narrowing down what it is God is leading you toward. List and describe your accomplishments since childhood. On page 29, here's some examples. I'll say, I put on plays for the neighborhood kids with costumes, props, etc. We transformed the shed in back of our house into a fairyland with lighting effects, decorations, and princesses. Number two, another one. I started a Kool-Aid stand in fourth grade and expanded it into three different stands. It was fun and I made money. I had a job as a printer's assistant and developed a method of cutting stereotypes, which was faster and more accurate. These are very different kinds of things, but they are accomplishments. I ran for president of everything and won sometimes when I was in school. I've always liked to build things. Before I got married, I completely rebuilt the little apartment I was living in. I successfully led protest marches against toxic waste in my hometown and got local TV coverage. I set a goal to read 15 books over the summer, and I did. Now, these would be the kinds of things that you'd be writing on pages 30 and 31. The kinds of things, you can take a look at 30. My highlights of things I did well and enjoyed doing during my grade school years. If you've got a longer list than this, fine. As a teenager, in college or early 20s, on page 31, in my 30-something years, and then complete up to the present. The more you can list, the better. Now, these will help you get a grasp on direction for yourself. The kinds of things to include on this list are accomplishments at home or school or work. Now, what are the earliest things you can remember doing and you succeeded at? Things you remember doing, things that you enjoyed doing. You know, if you really succeeded at something, your mother made you do something or your daddy did, and you were a real success at it and you hated it, don't put it down here. This is things you actually enjoyed doing, things you're motivated to do yourself. Things you believe you did well. Not things that other people believe you did well, but you believe you did well. You feel good about it. And then give some specific details of what you did. And then forget what other people think about it. Don't worry about what other people thought about it, or if they read your list now, if they would think it was significant or not. This is just for you. For you to write some things down on. You're recalling what you enjoyed doing and did well. Accomplishments, not simply pleasant experiences. Here, for example, here's a bad example. I had a great vacation in Canada. That's not really an accomplishment. It was a pleasant experience, but it's not really an accomplishment. If you went with your whole family, maybe it was an accomplishment. One guy said that the words family vacation are one of those contradictions in terms. Here would be a right way maybe to write that one. The good example here, I took some stunning photos during my vacation. You know, I did something, and there was a result to it, and I really liked the result. I feel like I did a good job with it. It was an accomplishment. You don't have to cover every year of your life. Just focus on what you feel are the highlights of things you've done. So we're looking for the mountain peaks here. Things in school, maybe things in your marriage. Things in your job, could be honors that you received. Now we're looking again for grade school, teenage, college, 30-something, and then completing up to the present. Why don't you take a moment right now, and for the sake of the tape, we can just hold it for a moment in just a second. Why don't you take a moment and just pick out one and jot it in one of these categories. Would you do that? If you need to borrow somebody's pencil next to you, do that. Do so. But just jot something you did well. An opportunity to get started with it. Now, there's a purpose to all this. Out of the patterns that you detect, the patterns that you see, you can begin to discover the motivated direction of your heart. As you do these things, just list them, give a little bit of detail, and then look back over them for common themes. Here on page 32, examine your achievements for a common motivational thread. You might find a key phrase repeated that might indicate some things. See if you can match one of the heartbeats listed below. We're going to look at several. There are more than this, though. Remember that all are God-given motivations. They're only sinful when they're used selfishly. Every one of these can be used in effective ministry. Don't be embarrassed to identify a basic heartbeat that doesn't seem spiritual. And sometimes we draw a very small circle on what's spiritual. Almost every one of these can be identified in the ministry of one of the 12 apostles. So, here are some examples. I love to, and then there are several here. Again, there are 15 of these, 15 examples. But there could be a much, much longer list here. Now, there may be things on your heart that are not on this list. I love to design and develop. Now, some people really love to take something, make something out of nothing. I enjoy getting something started from scratch. I love to design it and then start into development. Another is pioneering. I love to test and try out new concepts. I'm not afraid to risk failure. Now, for some of you, that's really true. Well, new things come along, and you just love to try them out. Others of you could care less about the whole issue. You know, you prefer to get life more organized and set and then move on with it. But there are some people who really have a heart for pioneering things, trying out new concepts. Failure is no problem to them. I love to organize. I love to bring order out of chaos. I enjoy organizing something that is already started. Some people who have the gift of organizing or the heart for organizing, you can usually tell by looking in their closets. If you check their closets, the closets are organized. And usually things are color coordinated. Often there are colored accessories above the items of the appropriate color, matching accessories and shoes underneath, and things are all put together. Someone has a real heart to organize. I love to bring order out of chaos. And then operate or maintain. I love to efficiently maintain something that's already organized. I don't want to organize it, but if it's already organized, I just love to take this thing and run it and operate it and make it go smoothly. Notice these are three different types of people here. Pioneers tend to start up brand new things. Design and developers and pioneers tend to start up brand new things. They create something out of nothing, or they take a new concept and start with nothing and just break into this whole new idea. The organizers tend to come behind the pioneers and the developers. The organizers come along and they take what someone else has started and they put it all together. Once it's put together, those who love to operate and maintain what can take it and operate it, maintain it, make it work very, very well. And all three people are needed. We need all three kinds here in the church. We need people who can pioneer things, develop things. We need people who can take over. Because, see, one of the problems is if you're a pioneer, after it's already developed, it's no longer interesting. Now, once it's pioneered, it's done. Pioneers usually keep on moving. The frontier keeps pushing further out, you know. And the organizers need to be brought in and take what's pioneered, gotten off the ground, and then organize this thing and develop it. We've tried to use this in Hope so that people who have pioneering ability are encouraged to go ahead and pioneer things. And organizers to get alongside them, and after it's pioneered, organize it. Operators come in behind the organizers and then operate the thing. One of the problems is, if you're an organizer, is when order exists, it's boring. You'd like to go find some more chaos and turn it into order again. Order is just boring. You love to create it. You hate to live with it. So, operators. Some of you, if it is chaos, you don't really know what to do with it. You're not interested in it. But if it's already set up, boy, it's very attractive to you, and you love to make it hum. Different kinds of people, different hearts. To serve and help, this is another basic motivation. I love to assist others. It's also a spiritual gift, but it's a basic heart motivation. I love to assist others in their responsibilities. I enjoy helping others succeed. Acquire, possess, we talked about a few moments ago. I love to shop, collect, or obtain things. I enjoy getting the highest quality for the best price. Now, there are people that collect stamps. Are you a collector? I started off to be a collector. I kept losing interest in it. I collect rocks and get too many rocks and box them. And I go do something else. But there are some people, some friends I had who collected rocks, and their rock collections were really amazing things. They just have that ability. They love to acquire things, organize them, and get the best quality. But some of you have that ability. Some of you are garage salers. You know, you just love the garage sale. 5:30 Saturday morning is nothing to you. And you love to get up, hit the garage sales, and acquire these things. It's a great joy to you to get an excellent price for this stuff. Some of you guys, you know, you make it to the electronics flea market. And it's just a great joy to you to get all this stuff. You're a scrounger. You just love it. You love to acquire. Now, that can be turned selfishly, and it can become destructive. Because the scripture says, a man's life consists of more than merely the abundance of his possessions. But it can be turned to the service of other people, and it can be a real blessing. But it's not wrong. Some people feel like, you know, if you're motivated to acquire, then somehow that's unspiritual. But it's neutral. It's neither here nor there. It all depends on what you use it for. To excel, I love to be the best and make my team the best. I enjoy setting and attaining the highest standard. Again, this can be turned to selfish direction, become the source of tremendous pride and arrogance, or it can be turned toward the health of the overall organization and the betterment of people, and you become a tremendous team member and motivator and leader. Influence. I love to convert people to my way of thinking. I enjoy shaping the attitudes and behavior of others. Perform. I love to be on stage and receive the attention of others. I enjoy being in the limelight. Now, maybe that doesn't sound real spiritual to you, but it's really neither here nor there. You know, if it's turned one direction, then it calls all attention to itself, and that's where everything ends up, just selfish. If it's turned another direction, it can be turned into drama, music performance, in the service of the King. It all depends on what you do with it. But some of you are really motivated for this. For others of you, to be in the limelight is just a horrifying experience. Rather than being up performing, you'd rather be watching the performance. But some of you are really motivated to be in the center of attention. You'll have an ability, a desire and ability to start and get meetings going and really help things flow in major meetings. Now, to improve, I love to make things better. I enjoy taking something that someone else has designed or started and improve it. Now, to repair, I love to fix what's broken or change what's out of date. This is Phil Harrington, who's on staff with us now, pastoring in San Diego. Phil's motivated to fix. You know, one of the great things about having Phil around the office was if anything didn't work, a couple of days it would. He walked by a broken clock, the next day it'd be working. And he'd walk by a desk, it wasn't working, and Phil'd be back with a screwdriver after a while, and the thing would be fixed. He just loved to do that kind of thing. He's a great person on staff. But one of the side benefits was if it was broken, it got fixed. I'm not motivated to do that. I fix it because I have to, but it's not a heart motivation. But some of you are really motivated to fix things, and that can be turned to a tremendous advantage in the kingdom. Fixing equipment we've got, helping people with stuff they have. I love to lead and be in charge. I love to lead the way, oversee, and supervise. I enjoy determining how things will be done. You know, some of you say, boy, I just like to lead. I like to be out front, hauling, follow me, you know, let's go on. Others of you say, no. Some of you don't know how to quit. You know, you just go and go and go and go and go and go and go. And that's one of your heart motivations. Other people give up. You don't want to quit until this thing is done. Follow the rules. I love to operate by policies and procedures. I enjoy meeting the expectations of an organization or a boss. Some of you don't enjoy operating in a fluid environment. Some of you like a very fluid environment where everything's just sort of flowing and you love to get into the flow and flow with it. But others of you don't like a fluid environment. You like things more structured. You like them more ordered. You want to know what the expectations are and you enjoy meeting the expectations and receiving the approval that comes with that. God gives different hearts for different types of ministry situations. Prevailing. I love to fight for what's right and oppose what is wrong. I enjoy overcoming injustice. Some of you are just, you are crusaders by knack. You know, this is something God has put in your heart. And if there's something wrong going on, you love to get in on the side of right and make a difference. So as you look over your list of the experiences of the past, you can come to this list and look and see if some of these motivations show up. Or there may be other things. There could be other areas that would show up. But whatever you begin to pick as your overriding motivation, you ought to be able to support with examples from your achievements. Like I feel the basic motivation God has put in my heart is to acquire, possess. My history demonstrates this. I purchased my first car at age 16. I collected a collection of rare stamps. I built up a large cash reserve. I've acquired options on 3 properties. You know, this will be an indication this is true. Which one of these do you think is mine? Which one? We'll play guess. Persevere? Pioneer? Lead? Influence? I think out of all of them, my history demonstrates the influence. You'll probably find 2 or 3 of these things very strong in your life. For me, my history would tend to say that the biggest one is influence. I have led, you know, if you look back on my personal history, I have led from very, very early on. And design and develop is a part of who I am. I remember whenever I was 10, I wrote the Constitution one summer, Constitution of 5 clubs I intended to start the next year. And I started 3 of them and made them go. And I didn't know it, but see, God, you know, God's put these kinds of things in my heart. And later on, the Lord intended to use those things to see churches started. But that was just something I did. Nobody told me to do it. I was just motivated. It was on my heart. But under more than to lead is influence. I can lead or not lead in a situation, but you'll find me, regardless of situation, wanting to influence and affect the thinking and direction of people's lives. So if you put me in a situation where I can't influence, motivation goes out of me. So you'll find as you look over these things, you may find 2 or 3 of these, maybe 4 of these cropping up. Down here on the bottom of page 33, did you find the basic motivational direction of your heart in the list? Write it on your personal profile. You don't have a personal profile right now, but we're going to give you one later on. And on that personal profile will be a place for you to begin to log your spiritual gifts, your heart, and then some questions related to those. So I would encourage you to take this little outline right here and do some work on it this week. Husbands and wives or apartment mates, you might want to share these things with each other. In home fellowship, you may want to do one of your home fellowships around this, group leaders. But I would encourage you to take these things. Don't just simply take the information. But actually take this, get a few hours over the next 2 or 3 weeks, get a few hours, and start writing some of these things down. Because what has happened in the past, we tend to view as just being sort of something that happened. It just did, you know, and that's it. But what's happened in the past gives you some idea of directions God's leading your life. And these things from the past can give you some guidance on into the future about what God wants to do through you. So take this and monitor your heartbeat. What's on your heart? You may find that things out of this list right here. Let me give you a couple of other things. When you do your list of achievements, check through the list. But you may also find people tend to come with 1 of 3 kinds of hearts for working with stuff. Some people prefer to work with people. Others want to work with things. Others want to work with ideas and information. And this can give you direction. Some of you, you know, the way you feel about it is, people, no, I don't really want to work with people. What I like to do is like to use my hands. Love to get in my woodworking shop. Or I love to make clothes. I love to bake. I love to use my hands. I really like to work with things. For others, you know, the things in the shop and things like that don't really have a lot of meaning for you, but you really enjoy working with information, facts, figures, numbers, data. You really enjoy information. That can help you narrow down. Look and see what area these things lie in. If you have a spiritual gift of teaching, and you have a heart for children, well, you can really focus in on your ministry. But if you have a spiritual gift of teaching and a heart for children, and you're stuck in dealing with adults forever and ever, motivation runs out on you. Spiritual gifting by itself will not help you set focus for your direction. You need to look at what God's laid on your heart. If you have the gift of organizing and you love to work with people, then maybe you ought to be leading in a ministry. If you have a gift of organizing, you love to work with information, maybe you need to be doing data work. God gives different hearts to different people. Hopefully, by this time next week, you'll have some clearer understanding of what God has put in your heart for His purposes, for His kingdom, not simply for yourself. Stand with me. Let's pray together. Thanks for sweating along with me. We didn't want anyone to freeze today. Father, thank You for putting in our hearts things that are right and good. And thank You for our motivations to follow Your Son. Lord, we also just thank You for the basic motivational patterns that You've placed within us that are neither right nor wrong, but just there. We ask You to open our eyes so that we can discover them and understand what it is You want to do through us. We pray that You would help us to grasp the uniqueness with which You've made us and help us to come to terms with it and then get clear perspective on what it is You're calling us to do. And we understand, Father, that there are many things we need to do just to be a help in the kingdom. But we also understand there are some things long-term that You intend to work through us. And we want to discover those things, Lord. We pray that You'd show in the name of Jesus. Amen.